Hello, world. Happy Tuesday, March 25th. Happy equinox. Happy spring. I'm in Los Angeles enjoying 70-degree something weather and hearing the birds chirp. Thank you for being here in my show. I am your host and life coach, Janet Collieri. My program is called Sight for Sound, Life Coaching. And sound to me means that when you see things as they are, you make sound choices in life. So I think that the better we know ourselves, the better our life works. If we have more information about ourselves, it gives us access to making choices that create the results that we say are most important to us. And then again, some people may think it's too much information and get confused. I like knowing myself better than I did 6 months ago or 6 years ago or 16 years ago. And I have gone through a process of knowing myself better, and I love myself even more than I did before. And I think it's a great gift to love myself as much as possible so that I have more love to give to you, my audience, my friends, my community, my family. And we have a great show today. I'm going to shout out the numbers and encourage you to call into the show today, ask questions, share your thoughts. The number is 877-876-5227. And then from U.S. and Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And the local number is 530-876-3222. And if you're listening, you'll find all these phone numbers on my page, bbsradio.com/sightforsound. I am a life coach. I teach leadership. I work with individuals, entrepreneurs, groups, organizations. And my purpose in life is igniting human potential, because I think we have this enormous untapped potential inside each of us. There's such an extraordinary beauty there. And I assist people in bringing that part of them out and contributing to the world through that potential in a safe way, in a compassionate way. And I sometimes tell you what you don't want to hear, have you see what you don't want to see, but it's so that you can be who you have always known you could be. I don't have the answers. You have the answers, and we all have the answers. It's just a matter of willingness or choice or when we're ready to go within and find the answers, and that's when we feel courageous and strong and empowered, is when we find the answers within. My process is mostly asking you questions so that you come to the answers on your own. I don't do it for you. And it is a very, very fun experience. Fun is very important in my book, and I think transformation and change with that naturally comes a little bit of discomfort, or maybe a lot of discomfort. So having the process be fun is really important to me. And if you want to find more about me, you can also go to my page, bbsradio.com/sightforsound. And again, we encourage you to call in today, ask some questions, share your thoughts. Today we have Mark Skelton and Lee Waterworth, producers and creators of Peace Pilgrim. They're also the founders of Positive Pictures Group, which is www.positivepicturesgroup.com. And their goal is to compel audiences to get involved in issues that have a far-reaching social impact. I've chosen Mark Skelton and Lee Waterworth today because I think the way that they develop their films and documentaries, they do it with a unique formula aligned with some of the pieces that I teach. And it's all about a mindset, a certain mindset. Today we're going to specifically talk about their project, Peace Pilgrims. And I have the book on Peace Pilgrim. I am very curious to know how many people who are listening have actually heard of Peace Pilgrim. And you may have seen her walking through your town or along the highway. She was a silver-haired woman dressed in a navy blue slacks and shirt and a short tunic with pockets all around the bottom in which she carried her only worldly possessions. It says Peace Pilgrim in white letters on the front of the tunic, and 25,000 miles on foot for peace. So this woman pledged to walk 25,000 miles. She says, I shall remain a wanderer until mankind has learned the way of peace, walking until I am given shelter and fasting until I am given food. She walked without a penny in her pocket, and she is not affiliated with any organization. And from what I understand, what I've heard, and what I've read, this woman in 1953 set out on her walk to walk all over North America, which included Mexico. And let's see, that was 1953. 1964, she came to her 25,000 miles, but she continued on until 1981, when she transitioned into a freer life, as she says. She passed away. And this woman is remarkable to me, her face. Her faith of walking all over the continent with the shirt and a pair of pants and shoes and no money, no nothing. And I'm very moved by what she has done. I am very moved by her message. And that is why I have Mark Skelton and Lee Waterworth as our guest today. So, hello, Mark. And hello, Lee. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello, Janet, and thank you for having us. And that was a great intro. I think you did our job perfectly. You've said it all.
Yeah.
Hi, Janet.
Hi, Lee. It's so great to have you both here.
Thank you. Great to be here. I would like to add one thing, Janet. When you mentioned the 25,000 miles, you were perfectly correct. She actually stopped counting at 25,000 miles, but then some smart individual worked out that she walked over 40,000 miles based on how many miles she could get to each pair of shoes, ironically. And she would walk in these soft shoes, which we still don't know the actual brand of and we're looking for. She would average 1,500 miles per pair, and she walked 29. She wore 29 pairs, so that's about... It's just over 40,000 miles, which is even more incredible.
Wow. And so did somebody donate these shoes to her, do you know?
Yes, we actually told different stories from speaking to the family of Peace Pilgrim. Her sister, Hen, is still alive, actually. She's 93 years old and has more energy than me and Lee put together. She cycles 5 miles every morning and plays the piano and sings songs. Which Peace Pilgrim composed.
Cycled no-handed.
She can cycle hands-free, like literally with her hands on her hips, riding through the cemetery as she takes wildflowers to Peace Pilgrim's grave every morning. It's a phenomenal story. But people, to answer your question, people would actually trick her into getting new shoes. Like they would see, because she would put tape around her feet and she would keep the sole attached to the top part, and she literally would walk, come down in the morning and a new pair of shoes would be there for her, because whoever she was staying with has who she ended up staying with, because lots of people opened their homes and their hearts to her while she was on her pilgrimage, which was actually a pilgrimage of prayer, constant prayer. She basically would come down and her shoes would be removed with a new pair there. So she refused to take anything that she didn't need. And she said, I could get, you know, she would always, she was famous for saying, oh, I can get a few more miles out of these, even though they were taped together with, you know, with duct tape and all kinds of things.
Oh, my God. Now, she, in reading the book so far, I actually did not see her her name in which she was born with.
Yes, her name was Mildred Lizette Norman, and she was born in Eckhart, New Jersey, and it's perfect you should say this, actually, because she was born in 1908. In July, and this July coming, more details to follow. You can find them on the peacepilgrim.org website, but there's a centenary planned, and it's either going to be the 16th or the 18th of July, coming up this year. It's the centenary of Peace Pilgrim, so she's be, you know, she, there's going to be a celebration of her life, her work, and her teachings, and obviously which was compiled, the book of her letters, Peace Pilgrim, the one you're referring to. And also, very importantly, she wrote a book called Steps to Inner Peace. It's actually a booklet. It's about 35 pages. And literally, a combination of the booklet and the book, there's been more than 2.4 million copies of those books and booklets around the world in circulation, like, you know, from and literally quite nearly every country on the planet. I've reported back saying, I read this, it's amazing, it changed my life, it's inspiring, and it's actually been printed in 26 different languages as well, and it's free of charge. I mean, this is the beauty of it. Everything is done purely. They don't solicit for cash. The Friends of Peace Pilgrim organization have been running now for 26 years, and
wow.
And they receive donations from all over the world. With letters accompanying the money saying, keep printing this book. More people need to read this message. It's an amazing book. And the great volunteers, especially Cheryl Canfield, who's the head of the Friends of Peace Pilgrim organization, and the head of distribution, Bruce Nichols, who I've become very good friends with, they've just been working tirelessly now for decades and decades to get this message out. And they just really have been, like, the publishing house has just been running, like, you know, by almost like, you know, by magic, by the power of God, or the power of, you know, by the power of the universe, whatever you want to call it. This message, you know, they've printed books every single year since 1982, after Peace Pilgrim's death in 1981.
Wow.
And they've never charged a penny for the book itself, or even for postage.
It's amazing what can happen, what can be done without money.
It is. It is. A little bit of belief, you know, just believe, and I think, you know, they say you can move mountains, and it's definitely true.
And that leads me to the purification of thought. She wrote in her book about a couple of purifications, and one of them is the purification of thought. And
yeah.
I'm talking about this because with my work, I'm a stickler for words and thoughts, and I do believe that there is a power of thought, and that the power of thought can heal people, like can literally heal illnesses. And she spoke about how thoughts are a powerful influence for good when they're on the positive side, and how they can make you physically ill when they're on the negative side. I've worked with people, I've seen people, I have people in my life, and myself included, who, you know, have been labeled with so many types of illnesses. And then, you know, personally for me, when I got myself on track and started to purify my thoughts, I actually healed myself
right.
of different illnesses. So I'm very aligned with what she is saying here. And she says, junk thoughts can destroy you even more quickly than junk food. Junk thoughts are something to be wary of. And she talks about a man who was 65 years old, and he had some chronic physical illness, and she could see that there was a bitterness in him, but she didn't know where it was coming from. And it turns out that he didn't get an education, that, you know, his dad didn't have enough money by the time he came along, and it was time for him to go to school, and he chose to release the bitterness that he was harboring, and the chronic illness began to fade away. And
it was actually resentment, wasn't it? Because his younger brother did go to college because the family was in a much better economic situation then, and he felt resentment towards his father for giving his younger brother a good education, whereas he missed out. And I think the lesson there was to forgive, you know, to forgive himself and to forgive his father, and really to release that bitterness and that resentment. And I think it's a very moved story. And I think Peace encountered quite literally tens of thousands of people on her journey who she sort of shone the light onto, you know, like you said, she would ask a question and the solution would come up, you know, and she would allow people to work out their own problems. And getting back to the positive thought, you know, she, like anyone who's on their spiritual path, so any listeners out there who I'm sure are on their spiritual path and can relate to Peace Pilgrim's life on many levels, we all know, you know, and predating The Secret, you know, and the book and the film, it's, you know, positive thought has been around, and it really is the law of attraction. And if you think good, healthy, positive thoughts, then your immediate universe turns out to be a good and healthy environment. And I think that's a lesson for all of us to keep in the front of our minds. You know, that's one thing we should think about. You know, I try not to think as much as possible. I think if you think about anything, it should be positive. You know, if you have to think, make it a positive thought.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and it's not so-called an easy process. It sometimes is a longer process than for others. And I bring this up almost every show because there are people who are skeptical, and we're not here saying, oh, it's easy and magical, and you just start thinking these positive thoughts and your whole life will be wonderful. It's a process, and I think it's important for people to be compassionate with themselves in this process. And this thought process and talking about Peace Pilgrim, who had no money, and that this organization goes on and on with no, you know, with free products and making no money. I would like to know, I would like for you and Lee to share how you developed this feature movie, the feature documentary, using a more purified thought process and how focused were you on money?
Well, as with all of these things, I think it's a very interesting story. And ironically, it was because of money which brought me to the Peace Pilgrim movie. And I was living in Los Angeles, and I'd had a big deal, you know, a big Hollywood movie deal that was all about to go through. And the movie was, you know, it wasn't like a high octane explosion movie, you know, starring some action star. It was actually, you know, it was a good movie. It was going to be a comedy with some meaning in there. And so I felt good about the film, and I felt good about the script. And it was all looking good. And then Hollywood did its thing. And, you know, the Hollywood egos got involved, and the deal just crumbled in front of my eyes. And I started to question why I was even here and why I was even trying to make movies when there's so much resistance and conflict, you know, just to get things done. So many people sort of put the brakes on, and so many egos try and, you know, take, you know, it's one step forward, three steps backwards. And I went into a place where I've always meditated since I was a teenager, and I meditate a lot. Like,
you're breaking up a bit.
Oh, really? I was just saying, I basically, a deal went wrong. It was a Hollywood deal that I felt good about, but that fell through down to Hollywood egos, and it was like a multi-million-dollar deal, basically. And then so as a result of that, I started to question why I was even making movies, you know, why I was even in this Hollywood machine in the first place. And so I thought, I'm going to take some time out, and I happened to be living up by the ocean in, and I went for a walk and just sort of started to meditate for a few hours every day and really just sort of focus on, ask the question, ask internally, why am I here? What brought me to this place in my life? And what's, you know, what is my journey and all the rest of it? And then after about 3 or 4 weeks of meditation and very deep thought and sort of really focusing on what's important to me, what are my values? You know, what do I want to do with my life? What is my, for want of a better word, calling? You know, what do I love to do?
Mm-hmm.
And one night while I was meditating, I literally had this flashback to it was actually a vision of my hands holding a book I'd read 3 years before. This is about almost 4 years ago now. And the book your listeners may be familiar with, it was a book by Dan Millman, and it wasn't The Peaceful Warrior. It was actually The Life You Were Born to Live.
Yeah.
I read that book, and it's an amazing book. I read it cover to cover like 4 years ago after my sister bought it for me for my birthday. And I remember reading in that book, whilst reading it, Dan Millman talks about an individual who he considers to be the perfect example of someone basically living to their higher self and finding their true calling and finding their true passion in life, and basically everything else falls around, and they know with so much certainty that this is why their soul came here, this was their sole purpose in more in more ways than one, to be on this planet. And I thought, well, this is an amazing story, but this meditation was that I sat up thinking, why did I just get this flashback to this woman, which I couldn't remember the name of. I just remembered there was a paragraph in there about this woman who'd walked across America and was the perfect example of finding her calling and living her life in service. And miraculously, I suppose, out of all the books I had in London before I moved out here, I only brought 10 with me, and one of them just happened to be the Dan Millman book, The Life You Were Born to Live. So I went to my bookshelf, picked up the book, and then I thought, well, this is 450 pages. How do I find one single paragraph? Because I couldn't remember the lady's name. So I thought, this was a really powerful sort of like vision of my hands holding the book, and I thought, right, you know, I almost tested it in the way and said, well, if this is meant to be something, you know, don't let, you know, follow it through, basically. So after looking in the index for clues, I couldn't find any. I thought, right, I'm just going to go for it. And so I basically closed my eyes, opened the book, and just let it fall on the page that it wanted to. And as I opened, it was on exactly the page with the paragraph on. And as you can imagine, I had goose pimples, and the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. And I thought, right, that's it. And I ran to my laptop, Googled it, and there it was, the Peace Pilgrim organization. And it's a long story, but I contacted them, and we started to talk and developed a script. And then that was, like I said, that's been in the last sort of like 12 months, basically. And it's just been an amazing journey of manifesting and just asking the universe, and where are we now, what do we need now? And it's been beyond description, really. I couldn't have written the script of this movie any better, you know, in terms of the right people coming up at the right time. So it's a great project to work on.
That's a great story about you just grabbed the book, you closed your eyes, you opened it up to the exact page where Peace Pilgrim's name was. And so, Lee, how did you connect with Mark in terms of this process of people coming together? And it seems like the process has been very natural, and that you've been provided lots of hints and answers and stories.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a perfect example of synchronicity, to be honest with you. My story is not quite as compelling as Mark's, but very, very synchronized. I first met Mark, I knew Mark before he came out to LA a couple of years ago. We met in London, and had a couple of nights out together, got to know each other, but not on a a friend's bed. Well, it was a friend as if to say hello to each other, wasn't it? It wasn't really, it wasn't a, well, literally make a point of going out to see each other every night. Anyway, cut the long story short, I came out to LA against the advice of everybody that I knew a year ago. A year ago, last Saturday, actually. Had a great 2 weeks, really, really connected with Mark. And Mark actually was working on the deal that he was talking about just a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted him to stay and to start working with him. But there was something, it just didn't sit right for me, but we kind of made a pact that we'd work together at some point. I went back home and continued along my path, which brought me up to September when I was taken into the office at work. In England, in London, and offered a really, really great job opportunity, one that, you know, I actually would have killed for at an earlier point in my career. But I literally came out of my boss's office with this offer in my left hand. I sat down at my computer, and there was this random email from Mark just saying, guys, it's the last gig at the Roxy this weekend, because Mark was managing a band back then. And the first day that I got in a year ago, the first thing I did was I went to the gig at the Roxy where this band was playing. And there was this gig, there was this email there, which was a general round-robin email, inviting everybody to the final gig before this band went on tour, and it was at the Roxy again. And I just felt absolutely compelled to walk back into my boss's office, say, I'm sorry, I don't want your job. I came back, I booked a flight, and I went to LA the next day.
So that took a lot of faith and courage.
Well, I didn't know why. I was at the gig on the Saturday. I mean, I honestly didn't know why. I just felt my higher self, if you like, just tell me, this is not the path you want to be on. Get on that plane. Go to L.A. Something's waiting for you there. It's far more important. I literally landed in L.A., got a car, came up to Santa Monica, where we live, met Mark, and he said, listen, I've found this project about Peace Pilgrim. He said, you're not going to go home? I said, no, I'm not, you're right. And I've not gone home since. Well, I have. Right now, but apart from that, it's been good.
Wow. And that was in September?
That was in September, yeah. And, you know, we've achieved quite a lot since then. By Hollywood standards, you know, we've flown, and the examples of synchronicity on the project are absolutely unbelievable. I mean, we're firm believers in manifestation anyway, and literally we'll put something out to the universe and the next day it appears. It's just been the divine path, I think.
Peace. All right. Well, before you share some of those steps, I'm just going to call out the phone numbers because we really want to hear from people. I'm curious to know who knows about Peace Pilgrim, if anybody knew Peace Pilgrim, if you have questions or you want to share some thoughts, it's 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. So I have you both here, one, because it's such a wonderful project and the intention of it. So there's that, but then the other piece of the synchronicity, and there's this creation process where, what my mentor taught me, he said, hold the vision, participate fully, regardless of my negative judgment of it. Just keep holding the vision, participate fully, regardless of my negative judgment or any negative thoughts that come in, and just continue to stay committed. And I believe in that process. I believe that if I just hold the vision and I'm participating and, you know, work on purifying my thoughts, and taking certain actions, but truly listening to my intuition. And so far, I see that you two have listened to your intuition, as did Peace Pilgrim. She took this time. She walked through the woods, I think, one night, the whole night, and came upon the moon and stars and just asked, you know, I believe she said, use me. You know, what the heck am I here for? Use me.
Yeah.
And you know, in terms of my purpose of igniting human potential, it's important to have as many people hear what can truly, truly transpire, what can happen, and how the world is impacted, how each person is impacted when we follow our intuition, when we use the creation process, when we focus on the love of something and the passion of something. So give me some nuggets on now you've gotten together and you're talking about the synchronicity, and so give me some steps on what happened next.
Well, I'll give you an example, and we were not going to name the name because, firstly, it may work against us, but I'll give you an example. And we've also got something going on in terms of the interaction with our database of people who are already connected to the peace program. We want to get their opinion on something, so we don't want to give away what we're thinking. But I can tell you this. Lee and I both decided on who we thought would be the best actress to play Peace Pilgrim, right?
Okay.
And obviously, this will be a major role for anyone. I mean, this is going to be a mini major, you know, major independent film, and it's going to be a decent sized budget, which is going to run into the tens of millions of dollars, which is, as you know, is big for a non studio film. So we really want to go with a top class team, in the sense that, you know, everyone from the catering to the cinematographer, you know, to the sound guy, you know, we really want this to be a really high vibrational set and a really high vibrational film. And obviously that has to go all the way to the top, right into who is going to play Peace Pilgrim. Now, just so you know, we're probably going to use two actresses, because the movie itself spans 100 years. As I say, she was born in 1908, and the movie comes right to present day in 2008, up to the centenary, in fact. So basically, what we were looking for was someone that firstly could be Peace Pilgrim, and also somebody that would be playing, you know, there'll be two actresses playing the same role. Now, Lee and I agreed on this particular actress, who is an A-list actress, and we just thought she is the one, and she fits on, she ticks every box, basically. I'll give you a clue. Ironically, she's actually from the same part of the world as Peace Pilgrim. They were born 100 miles apart from each other. Exactly. So, and just so many coincidences here with this. But one of the things is this. We actually said, okay, we need to start working on, how we're going to approach this actress, because that's basically where we are at, okay?
Yeah.
And so within 24 hours of Lee and I saying, okay, we're in a position now to get in touch with this particular actress and speak to our agent, her manager, and do all the, you know, the routine, we received a random email from a friend of a friend of a friend who just said, I love the website. I love the story. I love this woman. I can't believe I've never heard of her. She is an American saint. She's like this, the best kept secret. She's a, you know, she's a folk hero. All these amazing things. And she said, by the way, I know this is random, but if you ever need to get in touch with this actress, right, blank, 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 my best friend is best friends with her, right? And we were like, wow, this is unbelievable, right? That happened. This happened only about 5 days ago, right?
Then the next day.
The next day, we were asked to be judges at a fashion event in downtown LA. It's called the Emerge Fashion Show for these young emerging designers at Brooks College. And Lee and I were, you know, were pleased to take on the invitation, and we were judges there and everything. It was great. And then while we were actually in the garden, just talking to our friends, Lee went to get a drink, got talking to this guy, who was this guy probably in his 50s, mid-50s or whatever.
And it's important to say as well that he actually approached me.
Yeah, he approached
as
Lee.
As it seems to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it's almost like they just other people's energies tap into where we are. And and he came up to Lee and started talking to him just at the drinks at the bar and said, what are you doing? And Lee told him a little bit about it. And basically, he said, Lee mentioned the name of the actress, because he said, who's going to be Peace Pilgrim? It sounds great. Who's going to be Peace Pilgrim? at least said the name, like I say, which we won't reveal just yet because we've got things cooking on that front. But the guy said, she's my next door neighbor.
Yeah.
And we were like, what? And this guy went to college with Prince Charles. He's originally from Sri Lanka, but was educated, actually from Nairobi. And he was educated in at Cambridge and now is a publisher in New York. And this actress has a New York townhouse in Soho. And they ride in together on the tube, or as you guys call it, the underground.
The tube.
and they walk in together in the mornings whenever she's coming in, and if she's coming into Manhattan or whatever, and they sit next to each other and chat. And he said, next time I see her, I'll be back there in a couple of weeks, I'm going to mention I've met you guys. And we were like, it was just uncanny, you know. So
yeah.
Things like that, literally, like if we need an entertainment lawyer, we go to a restaurant. We go to a restaurant, and usually it's a similar restaurant. We have a few favorite restaurants in Santa Monica, and there's one that we call our spiritual home. And quite literally, there's like a hot spot. There's like one seat in particular. It's actually called the restaurant is actually called Marmalade. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you the names of restaurants, but it's a beautiful restaurant on Montana and 7th.
Uh-huh.
Now, basically, we sit there and we manifest almost. I mean, it's just beyond belief what. We needed an entertainment lawyer to answer a particular question, and we'd just seen one the day before, and this guy was giving us all these answers, but something wasn't right, and we were like, well, what's going on here? And we exercised on the Santa Monica steps in the morning, then went for breakfast at Marmalade, and we sat in our usual seat, which is at the end of the bench, and this guy was sat there, and he was about to leave, but for some reason, he decided to stay, buy another coffee and a piece of cake, and start chopping up the cake for the whole table, including me and Lee. And we sort of made friends with everybody within 5 minutes, and we're talking just about the one couple had a baby, and we're talking about the baby and asking the name, just not even talking about the movie. And then for some reason, we started to talk to this guy, who was a lovely guy, and we just said, he said, what are you doing, and tell me all about it. And we told him all about it, and he'd been to the Appalachian Mountain Trail, and Peace Program was the first woman in history to walk the Appalachian Mountain Trail in 1952, and he was like, wow, he said, this is amazing, and he asked all these questions about Peace Program, and then he said, well, where are you with the project? I said, oh, we're here, and we need this answer from a lawyer, and we're just waiting for this paperwork to be signed off, and we said, well, you know what lawyers are like, and the quoting ridiculous prices and all that kind of thing, you know, like tens of thousands of dollars to do things that really are already done, you know, they just want to, but the point is, he started laughing to himself, and we totally just offloaded all of this information onto him, and he was laughing and shaking his head, and he said, and we said, so what do you do? And he looked at us with like a wry grin on his face and said, I'm an entertainment lawyer. And he said,
hold the thought for a second.
And we, what was that, Janet?
I said, hold the thought for a second.
Okay.
So, all of these circumstances so far, I want to know, so far in the circumstances you're out and about, I want to know if you both take ownership of attracting it, and if you do you believe it's from, you know, from a place of ego? Do you think it's from a place, you know, in your heart? Do you think that you have a relatively healthy thought process?
Yeah, I mean, I am, my first and foremost trait on my ego level is to be the comedian, and I was going to say, you know, it's not ego, it's all me. But if I'm being honest and in alignment with the project, the responsibility is definitely split in terms of attracting. We're equally powerful magnets, if you like, and the filings of synchronicity stick on us with equal weight. The ego question is very, very important, and it's a very good question. And who knows? I mean, who knows really when the ego is acting, for what reasons? I try and stay centered as much as possible. And as I said earlier about the positive thinking, I try and stay out of my head and in my heart. And I'm very much, I'm a feeler as opposed to a thinker. So if I meet somebody and my heart chakra just opens up and I just feel this like drum in my chest, then obviously I know something is happening here and I have to follow this through. And I tend to be sort of led by that. You know, if that tells me something, I believe that before I believe anything my ego or my head tells me. So, you know, we try and you know, we both have egos, obviously, but we do try and minimize their impact, and the good thing is we're very close in terms of if Lee's being egotistical, I tell him, and if I'm being egotistical, he tells me, and we keep each other in check, and I think you've witnessed that on a personal level yourself.
Sure.
After meeting us, but basically, we try and always take the highest thought. You know, we try and keep it as clean and as on message and as pure as possible. And the great thing is, the project we're working on, she is, you know, Peace Pilgrim really does have all the answers there, because she says it herself, what I'm telling you is not new. You know, it's the practicing of it. The message is not new. It's the practicing of it. Every generation has to practice being spiritual. They have to work on themselves and find their meaning, their calling, and, you know, their purpose. And then that's, you know, only will inner peace come from that. So we're very fortunate that we're working on this project every single day, and the feedback we're getting is actually helping us. It's almost become like our own, course in spirituality and work combined. So, you know, Peace Pilgrim is still with us in spirit, and she keeps a check on us, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so, Lise, what are your thoughts on that? Mark says that you and he have a buddy system where you do the ego check-in, and I'd like to hear any other thoughts that you want to share in terms of your strategies in working this whole process for the film.
Well, it's been a very different journey for me, because I came over from England, and as most people know, the English society is very cynical, and I was about as cynical as you could get, and spirituality was a thing that I was open to but didn't entirely believe in. And I came over here, and, you know, I'll open my heart to anything, and I'll give anything a go, and I won't rule anything out, which is, you know, one of my traits, without blowing hot air at my own backside. You know, I'll give anything a go once. And spirituality is something that I've learned about through Peace Pilgrim. It's come to me, and the whole art of manifestation and believing in what we do and thinking positively, I mean, it's had such a massive effect on me. Living in England, I had such a safe lifestyle. I was adhering to all the rules. I was going down the, you know, I'd been to college, I'd been educated, I'd been to university, I'd done everything that society says that you should do. I had a safe, reliable job. And, you know, I was saving up for this house, and it became about my ego, and it became about material things. I was leading a life that actually I didn't want to leave. I was more bothered about how much money I had in the bank and working towards buying that house than anything else. And it really oppressed me, I think, in hindsight. I've come over here, I've found a project that I absolutely 110% believe in. And, you know, I've not got a cent in the bank right now because we've put everything that we have into this project. But to be honest with you, I really don't care.
Yeah,
you know, it's unbelievable. The change in me that I can see has been massive, and now I'm a firm believer in manifestation and spirituality. And sorry, somebody else is trying to get through on my phone. Let me just send them away. I forgot the original question. Now I went off on a tangent, didn't I?
Do we have a caller on the line?
Do you?
Nope. I thought we did.
Oh, yeah, but of course, the buddy system, back to the original question. Mark is almost a perfect partner. I really do think that we do very well. We keep ourselves in check. We finish each other's sentences. We're both reading off the same page. We see ourselves as guardians of this amazing message, you know, and we have to keep us positive. We've got to walk our talk. Otherwise, Peace Pilgrim's message just gets diluted.
Sure. So give us one more example of the synchronicity, and then we have like 10 minutes left, and then would love to hear.
So I'm not going to name a name, unfortunately.
No naming names.
You've got to believe me that this is true. Obviously, one of our problems that we've got with this film is it's a biographical drama. And even if we get that recognized A-list actress that we want, it's not going to appeal that much to the younger generation. So we have this kind of 12 to 26 age bracket that we really, really want to get the message of peace across to. You know, help these people to find inner peace, but without preaching at them and without sending them to see a movie that actually they're not going to be that interested in.
Uh-huh.
We're devising a way right now, which we think is a great way to make, you know, this age range, tomorrow's leaders. And it's all to do with music, because music resonates on such a high level with this age range and young people, I find. And so, literally, it was before I went home for Christmas, me and Mark had come up with this idea, and we were like, look, this is such a great idea, but it's so ridiculously ambitious. It's unbelievable. I mean, it dwarfs the film project, really, in actuality. And we just said, look, we're going to need to talk to some stars about this. We need some stars on board, some really, really well-recognized musicians within the industry. And we came up with a name. We said, we need to talk to such and such.
Yeah.
And two names, yeah.
This or that.
This or that.
Uh-huh.
So the next day, Mark dropped me off at the airport, and I was sat at the bar having a good old chinwag with this chap next to me about, you know, going back to England and the bleak weather that awaited me. And really, I was most discombobulated by the fact that I was going home. When all of a sudden this big brummy guy came up to me and said, mate, what is wrong with you? I was like, what? He said, did you not notice who you were just sat next to?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Having a nice little chat to this chap. Anyway, he said, well, such and such was just sat next to you. And I was like, I do not believe it. Anyway, so
funny.
This guy. And then 2 minutes later, he walks back in and sits next to me and says, I've been listening to what you've been saying to this guy about your project. He said, here's my card. Call my manager when you're ready. And
oh
it was
my
the guy
God.
That me and Mark, the day before, had said, we need to speak to you. Now that's manifestation.
That's such a wonderful story.
It was just, it cheered me up, getting me back to England as well. So,
yeah. Oh my goodness. It's well, I feel inspired.
Well,
I feel inspired, and you guys are such a great, you're such a great tangible result of, faith and holding the vision and staying passionate and determined and committed and despite, I'm sure, you know, many roadblocks along the way. But I think it's your open hearts that really have attracted everything that you require to make this happen. So you guys are putting out a feature film and a feature documentary?
That's right. Well, yeah,
what
we're
is the difference?
We're doing one, so we're going to the feature film. We're in talks, actually, with a distribution company to give it global distribution. So it will actually be along the lines of a Michael Moore, you know, in terms of it will be out there in the cinemas.
Documentary,
yeah. And then obviously the feature film, in terms of a timeline, most likely right now, looking at the scheduling sheets, the feature film will be finished after the documentary. And but then obviously when we release the DVD, we will release them as a box set. So you'll get the two movies together. And one will be dramatic and telling you about the inner feelings and the evolution and the journey that Peace Pilgrim went through from childhood all the way through to her untimely death, which was she was killed in a car crash, by the way. Yeah, she said her goodbyes and she had a feeling things, you know, were coming. But she was killed in a car crash, ironically, on the rare occasions that she would accept. I mean, it's such a dramatic story, you know?
Because she did mostly walking and here she...
Exactly. Well, this is the situation. If she became so popular near the end of her life with speaking engagements, she spoke at Yale, Harvard, every church, every temple, every synagogue you can imagine all over the country. I mean, literally tens of thousands of speaking engagements. Well, maybe not tens of thousands, but thousands, definitely. schools and colleges and civic groups, you name it. And when she couldn't physically walk from one speaking engagement to the next, she would reluctantly accept a lift. And on this occasion, she did. And as she physically couldn't walk the 50 miles, she would walk up to 50 miles a day to get to one speaking engagement to another. And this was a busy time of year. She'd just done a talk in Indiana, in Knox, Indiana, for the 4th of July. And then, ironically, she did a radio interview on the 6th of July, which is the last ever recorded, interview that she gave. And basically, she ended up taking this lift. And while she was driving through Knox, Indiana, a car crossed the Central Divide and hit their car head on. And killed Peace and her driver instantly. And the driver of the other car actually survived, which is, again, another strange little ending. But, yeah, and then that was it. That was 1981. And she, as she would call it, she went to a freer life, and that was her glorious transition.
Wonderful. So when do you expect the film and the documentary, or the the film to be out?
Well, realistically, we're expecting a spring or summer release for the documentary, and then it would be an autumn or early winter release for the movie, because in 2009, obviously.
Just to interject, of course, that all depends on artistic availability. I mean, we really want to get, as Mark said before, we really want to get a director and an actress that are not only recognized, but really, really resonate with this project and with the woman's message. So if that means that director, we find the right director, but available for another 6 months to start shooting, then that actually could delay us, but that's something that we are prepared to do for the sake of the project.
Yeah. And just out of interest, we would love to hear your listeners opinions on who should direct a movie like this, and who would be a fantastic Peace Pilgrim.
Yeah, call in 877-876-5227 and give us your opinion on who you think would be the best director and actress.
That's it, because we have our own opinions, but we would love to get some feedback from true Americans who sort of really resonate with this story. And, you know, people, and that's it, we want, you know, people maybe they've worked with directors who are very spiritual, or certain actors or actresses, you know, who would be great for this project because they're spiritual and they would understand the importance of this message, and it's not just a paid acting job, you know. It's so much more than that, and we really do have to do justice to what we consider to be the first true American saint. I know she hasn't been canonized, but she, just for your listeners, information, she was actually nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize in 1981. And the problem is she was killed in 1981, and obviously you can't receive a Nobel Peace Prize posthumously, so it never went through.
Wow.
So that was, again, irony at its best, but she didn't do it for the fame, she didn't do it for wealth or money or recognition, as we all know. She did it for the message, and awards and titles and plaques were just, again, not important. She considered that to be ego, and that's why anyone that knew Peace Pilgrim from 1953 didn't have a clue what her real name was. And that's the beauty of it. She was almost this mythical figure walking through the sunset along this lonely highway, and people only knew her from 1953. She refused to tell anybody her real name.
She was not interested in the results.
Absolutely.
Of her journey.
That's right. She came up with a great saying, Janet, because she realized after the first pilgrimage, you cannot be God and work for God at the same time. You know, leave the results to God and just do what you, just live in the now, be present, be in the moment, let your own destiny unfold, and just always be coming from the right place. And everything else will unfold perfectly. And she focused on being in the now and being in the moment. And that, I mean, you know, this lady just had all kinds of amazing adventures. And, you know, in her first pilgrimage, she did come across some major challenges. You know, she confronted
potential rapists and guys. You know, she was beaten up one time on a mountaintop by a young boy who was who basically was top of the beam because he flipped out on a thunderstorm. He had a lot of problems himself, and he actually nearly killed her. I mean, he beat her so badly she was bruised for a number of days afterwards.
Wow.
And she just gave him, she hugged him in the rain and in the mud with blood running down her face, hugged him while he sobbed like a baby, and she just held him in her arms tightly and just gave him love and touched that spark of goodness she believed everybody had in them. You know, she said, we're all children of the universe, we're all children of God, and every one of us has good in us, and she would always reach for that. And quite often she would say she no longer sees people's faces, she just sees white light emanating from people's bodies. You know, she sees, she's sex, you know, there's no gender, there's no sex, there's no race. She just sees everyone as she would say, individual cells in the body of humanity. And we each have our purpose, just like every cell in our body does its little job. Every human being has their job to do on this planet.
That's wonderful. I agree. And we have about 1 minute, and so you were just saying that she encouraged people to live in the now and let destiny unfold. So, Lee, tell us, share with us if you think that you are living in the now and letting your destiny unfold, or to what degree.
Sorry.
No. What?
You broke up. Did you say, am I in the now?
Is this Lee?
Yeah.
Okay. So my question is, how well are you doing at living in the now and letting your destiny unfold just like Peace Pilgrim did?
I am absolutely living in the now as it stands. You know, I live day by day. I create my own. I wake up each morning. I create my own day. I think about what needs to be achieved. We manifest. And, you know, we're not attached to results. We live in the now, and that's the way it is. It's working beautifully. We put it out there to the universe, you know.
Great.
We believe and trust, and that's the thing. The universe is infinite in possibilities. And we we don't sit in our bedrooms meditating, waiting for someone, you know, waiting for some A-list actress to knock on the door and say, please let me be in your film. We say what we want, we visualize, we talk about it, we make a plan, and we carry out that plan. And obviously, we know what we need to do, and we do that in the moment. So, you know, that's why we're given this brain, because we do need to do functional things in this realm, you know. So things happen, phone calls have to be made, emails have to be sent, meetings have to be attended to. That's all real stuff. That's you know, that's the reality.
Yeah.
And then you have to do that as well. You can't just, you know, like I said, this isn't just closing your eyes and hoping some magic genie will answer all your wishes and your dreams. And just so you know, that is actually the reward. The reward is doing the work. The reward is in itself. By doing the work and by feeling connected to what you're doing, that's the reward in itself.
That's wonderful. Do we have a caller? Oh, I heard a beep.
Yeah, so did we, actually.
Okay. Well, we're going to close out now, and you can find out more information on Peace Pilgrim and what is happening with the project at positivepicturesgroup.com. That's positivepicturesgroup.com, and you'll find that again on the bbsradio.com/sightforsound, which is my page. And Mark and Lee, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're busy building this film and the documentary, and thank you for sharing such an enlightening experience and